There's our clap. That means go.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Roaming Roads Podcast. We're going to call this season two of the Roaming Roads Podcast. I apologize in advance. There is a wedding next door to me tonight, and I had intentions of recording this podcast at night when it's a little cooler and a little more quiet, but that's totally fine. We're going to roll with it and give it our best shot anyways. So this is my first time recording the podcast with video as well. So if you're watching this on wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can also find this podcast on YouTube. And if you're watching me on YouTube, welcome. This podcast is everything van life. We're going to be having guest speakers on van life, a lot of tales from the road, as well as FAQs, solo podcasts, and then just stories. And we're just going to chat everything van life. And then we might throw in some adventure podcasts in there as well, talking about a lot of the different things that Kai and I get up to on our day-to-day. And then if you have any requests for things you want to learn about or hear about on the podcast, of course, as always, please comment or send me a message. You can find me on Instagram, She Wanders Earth. So today, this podcast, sorry, there's a fruit fly flying around here. This podcast is based on a bunch of questions that were submitted. So we're just going to go through 10 of them. And I asked them on my Instagram stories and now through the new Threads app. Through your submissions, we're just going to chat about them. So they're all anonymous. And yeah, let's just dive right in. The first one is, what are some things you installed in your van that you love? So the first thing is my induction cooktop. It is so nice. I have only ever had a propane stove through all of the vehicles that I lived in, and even when I lived in my car, I only had like a little Coleman barbecue. So the induction is a luxury and everything. I use cast iron and it heats up so fast and everything cooks amazing. It's great. And you know what? Like, even though there's a higher draw on the electrical system, it's still, because it's so efficient, it's really, you're not drawing on your electrical system for very long. It's not like you're cooking for hours on it. So it's great. The second thing is my filtered UV water system. I think that's going to be a game changer for me. I'm looking over it to where it is. There, I have a main faucet as well as then a little tiny separate faucet. And that goes through a sediment filter and then the UV filtration system. And just for a lot of the travel that I do, mostly, I mean, actually always where I fill up is already filtered water. It's tap water, but just through the elements, and you never really know. It's just nice to have that extra precaution. Okay, the last thing is AC power. Having like the ability just even right now to do this podcast and, well, the induction cooktop, but oh, blending my smoothies in the morning has been so nice. I have a Ninja blender and that has just been so awesome to be able to have AC power. I think to go along with that, I have a 3000 watt inverter charger, and so it's able to like withstand the larger draws on the system. Okay, the second submission question is, what made you want to live in a van? Oh, this is a heavy, long question, but we're gonna keep it short. Oh my gosh, I always tell the same story. So I was in school in university. My bachelor's degree is in molecular biology and biochemistry. It's a mouthful. But when I was 2 years before I graduated, I really had kind of lost sight of who I was and what I was doing and what my mission was in life. I felt like I didn't really know like who my community was, what I really loved, because I was just head down and grinding. If I wasn't working 12 hours a day as a paramedic, I was at school for 12 hours a day, and it was just day in, day out without really even realizing. Like, I didn't hike, I didn't have any extracurricular like activities that I was doing. If I had any free time, I was volunteering at the hospital. So that's where all of my time was being taken up. I went through a breakup and I realized in that moment that I really didn't know who I was. I started learning about minimalism and how you really find happiness when you realize that it's not attached to anything. And that, I guess there's that materialism conversation about, you know, like retail therapy, for example. So purchasing things in order to give yourself that little piece of happiness for however long that ends up lasting you, but really that our happiness isn't attached to anything. I started reading books and learning about minimalism. From there, I learned about tiny homes and then people living in their cars. And I knew that at the time I could not afford to buy a brand new van or even a van of any kind. I had actually just bought this, at the time it was a 2015 SUV. Well, I just sold everything that I had and moved into that. I wanted to give myself 5 months of living with only what I could have in the car. I actually didn't really even give myself any goal besides just finding myself and finding happiness within. And after 5 months, then I bought my first van, and 5 years later, I'm now building up my dream van, which is a Ford Transit. It's crazy to think, like, if I knew 5 years ago that I was going to be here, there's no way. There's no way. So it's just one step, one foot in front of the other. Question number three, ever consider FOMI? I'm assuming the person meant to say a FOMI option for a van build. And I actually had to Google this. I had no idea what that meant, a FOMI option. From my understanding of that, it's building the entire inside of your van or a camper with foam board. And so I looked at a few images and immediately I knew my answer to this, which would be a no. So I had never actually considered it and I would not do it. I understand. I didn't do a lot of research into maybe the pros of it, but immediately I just thought about the structural components of it, like the durability long term. Also the environmental impact. Not really sure that that would be the best way to go. I don't believe that foam board is very environmentally friendly at all. So that's a quick answer on that one. But curious to hear your thoughts, because in terms of lightweight, then you're like, okay, well, then your vehicle's not as heavy, you're not burning as much gas, so your emissions are lower. It's really hard sometimes to weigh the pros and cons of that. But I've built my entire structure of my van with 80/20 aluminum extrusions, and I love it. Love it. Next question is descend with a question mark. No, I will not be going to descend on bend this year. I went last year and I was so bummed to not be going this year. It's a very, very fun event. If you don't know what it is, it's an event every year held in Bend, Oregon. And it's a gathering of hundreds, if not now, probably over 1,000 fan lifers and schoolies, car lifers and tenters and just nomads. And it's a collective of amazing, incredible individuals. But this year I will be heading to the Yukon, so I will be missing Descend on Bend. Question number five, how do you maintain your beauty? This is very, very kind. I'm assuming this person means my skin, and I'm interpreting that just because I've been so self-conscious of my skin for so long. I don't really know why. Only a couple of years ago, not since my entire van life journey, the beginning couple of years, I actually had really beautiful skin and I thought that I had great skin because of being outside. But over the last couple of years, my skin got really bad, but it's been clearing up over the last year. And I've been using Eminence products over the last year and a oil on my face. A good friend of mine in Revelstoke, Sarah, she was telling me that she uses a face oil, and that sounded crazy to me. I'm like, why would you put oil on your face? But she has glowing skin. And so yeah, I started using a facial oil, very expensive product, but I feel like that's maybe helping and it helps with the glow. So try it out. Next question is question number six. How do you manage your period in van life or camping? Super helpful for traveling ladies. Okay, so this is tricky if you're camping. I use a Nixit cup, which is a version, I should forewarn, sensitive subject for those listening. I use an exit cup and it's similar to the, what's the other one called? It's like the silicone cup. That one, very scary, gets suctioned. And I had one negative experience where I could not get it out and it was very stressful. So I have not used that since. The Nixit cup is amazing. And it's also like, as a woman, why I feel like it's important to have a toilet in the van. I have a Nature's Head composting toilet, which I love. Some people say like, which side do you put it down? I put it in the pee jug. That's what I do. You know, public washrooms are essential. But yeah, I don't really, it's not actually too much of a worry for me because I have running water now. And I'm always generally near public washrooms. If you're out camping or in the backcountry, I would just say use tampons. It would just be a pretty big nightmare, to be dealing with a cup. I just think of wildlife and just, yeah, not my favorite thing. Anyways, I would just say tampons for emergencies. But yeah, I haven't bought tampons or panty liners or anything like that in like probably 4 years. Yeah, a long time. The last thing I wanted to say on that was, What did I want to say on that?
Oh, NYX. I use NYX as well, the period undies. And so that kind of is like my little trade-off for the panty liners. Question number 7. Where do you park your van? Campsites? This really just depends on where you are, which cities you're visiting, which countries you're visiting. When I was in Baja, California this last year, or actually it was this year, January to March, it was on the beach most of the time. There's paid parking or paid camping on the beaches, about $10 US per night. Quite often you can also find a bunch of free camping. It really just depends. I use iOverlander. It's a really wonderful app to see, like, everyone can contribute to the app. You can upload spots and then you can also see where other people have camped, and then you can leave reviews and read other reviews and photos of the different campsites. I was going to say Harvest Host, but I've actually never stayed at a Harvest Host. But I've heard that those are really wonderful places to stay as well. Walmart, Walmart parking lots. I mean, it depends. Some of them are great and then others have no overnight parking signs. So again, it's just one of those things. Campgrounds I do stay at sometimes. I would say not as much provincial park campgrounds. If I really need to, you know, clean the van out, spread out, have a shower, have access to water and electricity, charge up, those sorts of things, absolutely, I'll pay the $35 and stay at a provincial park campground, similar to a state park campground in the States. And then, but other than that, it's like rec sites and Forest Service roads. And then Forest Service roads in Canada is, they're part of Crown land, which is equivalent sort of to BLM land in the States. And that's all free. And you can stay up to 14 days, depending on the rec site. Some of the rec sites in BC, I don't know about other provinces, sometimes they charge like 10, but I think that's all $12 to $15 or $18 a night now. So there's that. And street parking. So if I am going to stay on a street in a neighborhood, I limit myself to one night maximum. I do not want to be knocked on. It is not fun. It gives you a mini heart attack. And I turned 30 last year. I just don't need a knock. No one needs a knock. And yeah, it's also just like, you know, if I was living in a place, in a house, and like that was my home base, and there was just like the same van parked outside of my house, and I don't know, I probably wouldn't like it. And so I'm just really respectful that way. And I try to be respectful that way and just like stay one night in front of someone's house. But I try to, obviously, you know, if someone has a hedge, that's always so much nicer because you can be behind a hedge or something like that. But yeah, so that's what I do. And then of course, like friends and family. But yeah, for a lot of it, it's rec sites and, yeah, BLM land. Last question is, how much experience did you have before with building things, and what resources have helped you the most with taking on projects for the first time? Not too much. I have built one thing before. I built a small power shed with the help of a neighbor years ago. And so it was like a, what do you call that, 16 on center, like a 2x4, but 2x6. I think we built it with 2x6s actually. 2x6 framing. So we built the whole thing together. He was teaching me and like guiding me the whole way. So I insulated it. And then I hired someone to do the electrical. And then, you know, I put on the roof. So that was probably to the extent of my building of like a structure before. But I grew up on a 5-acre farm, like a hobby farm, growing up with four younger brothers. And we hunted growing up. Like we were just very, we had dirt bikes, like very tomboy, always like building tree forts and trees. And, you know, just that was what we did, because we were always outside. So I think I've been a little more resourceful in terms of asking questions. And honestly, Google is just your best friend. If I don't know how to do something, I will Google something, read a blog, watch YouTube videos, ask friends. And then quite often I'll just put it out on Instagram or somewhere, just saying, hey, I need help. Does anyone have help, experience with this? Yeah, I would say that was the extent of my experience. I had no experience building a van before. And I will say that even with all of my experience in the past, I was not expecting anything like this. This has been a huge test to my patience, my abilities, and it's been a lot of tears and a lot of laughs. But yeah, I'm just looking around at the van right now and just, I'm just baffled by how long things take. And the other thing I will say is there are so many different ways to do the same thing. So you could spend hours researching till the ends of the earth of what's the best way to do something. And there is, you know, the best way is just your perception of what the best way is. Like, depending on how long you want the van to last, or where you're taking it, or what you're doing with it, there's always pros and cons to everything. Like, how much insulation do you use? It's like, well, are you actually spending, you know, any winters in minus 30 Celsius? And if not, is it necessary to add all that extra weight and all that extra expense? And I could go on and on and on about this. So that will be another podcast. Okay, that sums up all of your questions for this first podcast. So I'm really excited to just kind of open this next season back up. And yeah, over the next few weeks, have some guest speakers on. And yeah, just see how this goes with recording myself on YouTube as well as putting this out there for audio. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say. Subscribe, share this with anyone who is interested in life on the road or adventure. Yeah, anyone really that wants to explore an alternative way of living. Definitely here to share my experiences and my stories and bring a smile to your day. So my name is Dominique, and this is the Roaming Road Podcast. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week.